I just am thankful for how God continues to be faithful through each one and your gifts and your blessings that you are to one another, being part of the body of Christ. It's just amazing. That's why I call it Amazing Grace. Reaches beyond our fault and see our needs. And to those who are watching, if you'd like to make a donation to the church, Wimber Assembly, Box 361, Wimber, PA 15963. We appreciate your contributions. Today we are looking at John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. And the series that we've been going over is Come Away With Me, when Jesus speaks to his disciples and they had come back from ministering and there's all this crowd around them and they're talking about all their successes. And Jesus says, you know, let's just go away for a while. Come away with me and we're going to spend some time together. So the presence of Jesus, we sang about, the presence of Jesus is his realizing how close he is to us and to you. And so he's actually asking the disciples, telling the disciples, let's go away from the crowd and let's just spend some time together. And so the next one we have here in the text today is in John 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, remain in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. This is another one of those great verses. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So this understanding of coming away with Jesus is that it's, I'll just say, sometimes we say, okay, we're gonna keep the commandments of God. And it's like, we're gonna make sure we do it and do it right. You know, I'm gonna love you even if it kills you, or me. And no, it doesn't work that way. In our relationship with Christ, we see that love is the greater path. That love and forgiveness is the better way to live. And so whenever we are looking at obedience to God, it's not like he's, okay, you know, you didn't try hard enough with this one. It's not about trying. It's about living. It's living close to God. And what Jesus has presented here to the disciples and to us is that as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now that in itself is a great statement. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And so we think about what God has done for us, and whenever we see his love for us, can you imagine the love of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Okay, triune God, one, yet three distinct. But from eons, there is no beginning and there's no end. So God and the closeness of God the Father and the Son and the Spirit. There is no separation. There is no animosity. And we're looking at God the Father. Jesus is telling the disciples, God the Father loves God the Son. Okay? The Godhead. Existence forever. And he's telling us that Jesus is telling us, God my Father loves me. God the Son. And then Jesus says something. I love you. And that's the same love that God the Father has for Christ is the same love Christ has for you. You know, in our Sunday school lesson, it talked about Jesus, you know, the God knowing the very hairs of our head. A sparrow can't fall to the ground without him knowing it. And so that the scripture that talks about that knowing of God to us is so complete that the thoughts and the intentions of our heart are known by God. And we sang about his grace and his mercy that are extended to us. So these are things that God is letting us know that we can build this foundation of faith on. That it's not about me making God happy. It's about me receiving God in my life and realizing what he asked me to do is the better way. That following his command is the better way. And so we're asking him, God, for help, the Holy Spirit for help, to live this way. Because we recognize if we're taking two paths, we want to take the better of the two paths, and that is the way, that is the path serving Christ. So many believers live exhausted because they are constantly trying to prove themselves worthy. You know, did I do enough that God will love me? I remember individual there, I think it was their grandkids or some close relatives, and they were just really expressing their sorrow at the death of their relative, just like, I mean, extra, so extra that I'd never seen it before. So anyhow, after they had gone through the number of the children and grandchildren had gone through what they thought they needed to do, not their performance, what they thought they needed to do. I sat down with them and they said, "Do you think Grandma knows we loved her?" So the idea was, yes, they loved their grandmother, but they were performing to see which one would love her the most. You know? And it's like, do you think she knew how much? So it was like trying to prove to a person who is deceased and to everybody else that they loved Grandma more than the next one, all right? So whenever we're serving God, some people are like that. They're like, you know, I love God more than anyone else in the church. And I can prove it. It's like, okay, you know, have at it. So many believers exhaust their constantly trying to prove. Jesus isn't saying, prove that you love me. He's saying, I've proven that I love you. I've proven that I love you and that my grace is extended to you. Grace, mercy, unmerited favor, it's all extended to you. The next verse says, chapter 15, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So keeping the commandments is obedience. And obedience is saying yes to what God is saying and doing in our life. You know, like keeping the commandments of God, or forgive as we've forgiven others. Now, if you've ever met people that are old, much older than me, that have not forgiven their relatives, you know, have not forgiven family, there is a bitterness about their life. You know, they have chosen to be bitter. And I've been with individuals who are much older than me that had trouble with their siblings when they were a teenager, and they haven't yet made up for it. And they're, you know, they've gone a whole lifetime and never made up for it, never apologized for it, because it wasn't their fault. You know, it's like the kid down in Kernville is watching their New Day, and these two boys were playing ball in a lot. This, you know, house was there and it was tore down. Well, there was another house at the end, and there were windows all along the side of the wall. And they're throwing the ball, and he's hitting it off of the wall of the house with windows where somebody lives. And they're hitting it, and it's like, you know, I got to watch this one. Boom, hit the ball, went right through the window. Drops the bat and says, not my fault, and he ran off. You know, some people don't like to take responsibility for their life. Well, God is telling us, if you take responsibility for your life, I've got a better way. You know, there is a better way. I know I've told you about the GPS system that I had, the first one I had. The voice in the box, she would tell me which way to go. And after a while, she'd go, you know, there is a better way. You know, very condescending. I threw her out the window. No, and it wasn't Rhonda. So there's always somebody trying to tell you there's a better way. But there is no better way than Christ and what his commandments are. And his commandments are not there to beat us up. His commandments there are for us to choose that, well, to forgive is better than not forgiving. It's like, okay. That to love is better than hatred. So serving God is better than serving the devil. That serving Christ is better than doing drugs and alcohol and the rest of the stuff, promiscuity. So what we're doing is obedience to serving Christ is the better decision than the other. And so our life then is a matter of making choices. And Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you're going to abide in my love. So not only are we doing the right things for the right reasons, We're allowing God's love to be part of our life. So, our culture says, follow your heart. Jesus says, follow me. Follow your heart. No, Jesus, follow me. His word and his spirit. One path produces confusion and anxiety. The other produces peace and love. So I will follow Jesus. He's the good shepherd. We are his sheep, and we hear his voice. And know this, that you cannot go where Jesus has not gone before you, because you're following him. So whenever you're following Christ, don't ever think you're in this alone. He's there with you. So the next is verse 11. That my joy may remain in you. Jesus is talking about his joy. Now, we need to notice that Jesus does not promise us happiness. Happiness depends on happenings, you know. So, and the feelings about those events. I'm really happy about this. I'm really discouraged about this. This doesn't work out at all. I'm following God. Not happiness and how I feel about the situation. So joy depends upon the presence of God, the presence of Christ, the song we sing in his presence. In his presence, what is there? There's peace. There's joy. I will linger. I will stay in your presence day by day. So it's just the presence of God is a place, a very real place that's very personal and where God speaks to us by his spirit and by the word. So the disciples would soon face persecution, yet Jesus promised them joy. They all but one of them would die as a martyr, and Jesus promised them joy. So this is one of those, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So the cross, but his joy in knowing that this is the will of the Father and this is what he's come to do, he knew that he must go through the beatings and the whipping and the crucifixion and the death and the pains of all that. So the joy of what was on the other side of that is what sustained him to go into it. It isn't joy that erased the cross. It is joy that gave him the inner strength that says, this is the will of God. This is what I must do. And the joy that was set before him was you, me. The joy that was set before him is everyone who would believe in him and pray, accept his word. That's the joy. the resurrection. That's the joy that would be there for all eternity forward for us. That's why he took that upon himself. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they're singing songs. Why? Because they're happy. No. They're beaten with rods and chained to the wall. And they're, what are they doing at midnight and being chained and to the wall? They're, well, you know, let's have a song, brother. No. They're singing unto the Lord. Why? Because in that place they felt the presence of God. Everything, you know, circumstances didn't change, but their awareness of God's presence gave them a renewed hope in life, and miracles happened. So many times in our request of joy and the pursuit of joy, what do we think of? Vacation. We're going to the beach somewhere. Well, Jesus offers all believers a lifestyle that isn't living at the beach. It's living with Christ. And abiding in Christ means maintaining a deep, intimate relationship with him. A deep, intimate relationship with Christ. It means that we take time to talk to him. We take time to read the scriptures, have a devotional, have time that we actually think about Christ. And as we think about him, we are allowing his word and his spirit to speak to us. Love must become an action. Verse 12. Love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that you love each other as I have loved you. What does the Lord's Prayer say to us? Love those who persecute you. What does it say? You got to help me out here. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us as we have forgiven. Love us as we have loved. Love us as we have loved. So we find that with the greater road, the higher plane, the better way to live is loving others as Christ has loved us. So we're finding that we find that love in the scripture always has feet. What? It has feet. It serves, it forgives, it sacrifices, it's doing. So we find that most believers never die as martyrs, but we do, and we can give away certain vices that would hinder our relationship with Christ, such as pride and selfishness and bitterness. Love always costs something. It costs Jesus everything. And that love is in our hearts as we love and serve others. Next is, we are friends of God, not servants or slaves. I no longer call you servant, I have called you friends. A servant in this text is a bond servant, which is a slave. They're owned. A slave who is owned has no rights. No rights, no privileges. They are totally at the will of their master. So the master can buy or sell or kill. Doesn't matter. Determines who is with whom. You know, husband, wife, doesn't matter if you're, they can separate, they can sell, they can put you out to the lions if they want. So servant here is this bond servant, and that we have no privileges. But Jesus desires more than religious activity. He doesn't see us as slaves to the church. He sees us as servants of Christ. He desires relationship. Jesus desires to walk with you. Jesus desires to be your friend, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What is it like to be the friend of God? Jesus tells us that's what he wants to be. He wants to be your friend. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never abandon you. He always hears every prayer. He'll never leave us comfortless. He will come to us. So these are the promises of friendship. These are the promises of God. And going back to the very first one, as God the Father loved God the Son loves us. Same degree of love. That's quite a statement. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. That in itself is a message, is something that we can really look at, that God chose you. Well, what is it special that I have? You're you. He made you. He created you. He knows what's inside. He knows what's there, and he wants to touch that. He wants to exemplify the good and to allow his presence to just become part of who you are. And I chose you for a purpose. Jesus never calls us away to go somewhere permanently unless he calls you to go on a mission field. But he calls us away so that we can return different. Whenever we spend time with Christ, it changes our hearts. And of course, whenever our hearts are changed, we're going to have confrontation. Something's going to be there to, you know, challenge it, whether it's good or bad or whether we've really learned a lesson. So people may forget a sermon. People may forget what we've accomplished, but they rarely forget someone who genuinely loved them and touched their hearts. See, God genuinely loves you. And when he has forgiven you of your sins, that's a great accomplishment. See, our culture encourages performance. Jesus offers his presence. Our society values speed. Jesus values stillness. The world teaches self-promotion. Jesus teaches self-giving. People crave followers. Jesus calls us to become faithful friends. So we find that the answer to anxiety is not more activity. The answer is staying close to Christ. So in Christ alone I stand. So how many, we all have cell phones, right? How many have a cell phone? Everybody has a cell phone? Almost. All right. So what do? Every evening you plug them in. Why? Battery's dead. Well, we don't get mad at the phone. Because it loses power, because, you know, it has the power to call, you know, calls and navigation, messages, games. Some people play games, countless tasks. The calendars are on the phone. Well, eventually the battery weakens and runs down. There's no criticism of your phone because that's just natural. Well, our life in Christ, we need to replenish what we're giving away. We need to replenish. You know, the phone plugs into the electric in order to recharge it. We need to spend time with Christ to renew our relationship with Christ. It doesn't go away. It just, you can't keep giving without putting stuff in the heart. So the Christian life works the same way. Every act of ministry has a way of draining or letting, you know, taking things out, so to speak. But God's reservoir that he gives to us never runs dry. That all, everything we use of our relationship with God doesn't diminish God. In fact, it continually renews itself. And so today, Jesus extends the same invitation he gave to his disciples. He says, come away with me. So our challenge is to this week and this time, come away with Christ. Spend some time, take some time, and read a devotional, read a scripture, read something in the Gospel of John. Read it and just spend some time over it and praying and talking to God and allowing that to be your time with God to recharge. You know, and if you start to do that, the first thing that's going to happen, your mind is going to wander. And always remember, if your mind wanders, bring it back. Because if your mind doesn't wander, it means it's dead. Not really. But your mind is just part of who we are. Our minds are active. And that we need to control or bring subjects and bring it back to where it needs to be and focus for a few minutes on the Lord. It's just the way it happens. So we are spending some time with Jesus not to escape our responsibilities. You know, it's your turn to take out the trash. I got to go spend some time with Jesus. I got to go to work. No, I got to spend today with Jesus. You know, it's not what he's saying. Take some time with Jesus. So our divisions of today, we're going to take some 30 seconds and think about them. But as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, choosing the better way, that my joy may remain in you. Joy, not happiness, joy. Even while you're maybe in prison or going through difficulty. Love one another as I have loved you. I no longer call you servant, slave. I call you friend. You did not choose me, I chose you. Those are the texts that we have looked at briefly here, and it's you know, come away with me. So we're just going to take 30 seconds and think about them and which one pops out or sticks with you, and just take a few moments to settle that and keep it in your mind. So which one is it? Or couple? Did you come up with one? Mine is, you did not choose me, but I chose you. That's one that has, even when I was first went to college in West Virginia as a freshman, you know, I didn't know that I was going to be a minister. And my friends, they were all drunks. Yeah. And, you know, and it's like, okay, God, what am I doing here? They were good guys. They were my best friends. They remembered us or remembered me their whole time at college. And but I always remember that I was chosen. God chose me, and I didn't, you didn't understand why you were doing there, and so you came back the next year, and everything changed again. Met Rhonda, and yeah, my friends watched over anybody that tried to date her. They didn't let them. Really, literally, they did not let them. And so, anyhow, but that was the verse that stuck with me whenever I was a freshman in college and in a secular school. And we had four guys in a room, and two of the four, the other guy, he didn't drink either, but the other two they knew how to party. And I had to put them to bed. Throw them up in the upper bunk, you know, just get up in bed and go to sleep, you know. But you did not choose me, God chose me, and that he had a purpose for me being there. So in each of these situations, the Father has loved me. Maybe that's where we need, that's the focus, being loved. Keeping his commandments, that's a choice. We're choosing to go the right path for the right reasons. My joy may remain in you. Joy isn't about happy about what's happening. It's that, like Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So there's joy in our heart, and there may be difficulties ahead. But after the difficulties, there's life. Love one another as I have loved you. You know, let go of those things that are hurting. I no longer call you a servant. I don't call you a slave. I call you friend. That's what he tells you. I call you friend. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Let's all stand. And right after church, I want to have a little meeting with the board. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that speaks to us on so many levels. And Lord, that as we take the time to just think on some of these verses or read over them later at home, we ask, Lord, that your spirit would inspire and just attach some of these thoughts to our minds and to our hearts, that we would think about your perspective of our life and your perspective of joy and your perspective of serving you. Lord, we thank you for this. You will never leave us comfortless. Lord, you will come to us. So we are grateful for your presence. We're grateful for your word. We ask, Lord, you to be with us now and guide us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.